You are listening to Legion of Substitute Podcasters, episode 295, The Election of the Century. No, sorry, Darren, I said election. Welcome to episode 295 of Legion of Substitute Podcasters. I'm Paul French, and today I am Tenderloin Lad.
Hi.
This is what we had for dinner tonight, and it was good. Yeah. No, that's pretty much it. One of those days, nice enough to sit out in the backyard after we got the kids to bed. And although Ella's had this thing about getting out of bed and coming down and sort of trying to sneak up on us, and which she can't do because stealthy that kid is not. for someone who weighs a fraction of us, she has the footfalls of an elephant, so
ooh,
fairly easy to track. So yes, a nice beef tenderloin, little sautéed onions and some peppers, beautiful thing. That's all I got. That's it.
That's all you got.
That's all I got.
That's it. Okay. Well, I am Darren Noel, and I guess tonight I will be middle square morning kid, thanks to the recent passing of Ann B. Davis, the Alice. My one of my favorite housekeepers from TV has gone on to, you know.
She's gone on to join Sam the Butcher.
She has. And Mr. Brady.
That's right.
There you go. So, not to put it on a downer, but yeah, that's me tonight.
Well, I am Matt Kramer, and tonight I am movie boy because I finally got out of the house to see X-Men. Days of Future Past.
Ooh, how was it?
I thought it was pretty good.
Cool.
I know that's a controversial statement.
Is it?
How dare you, sir?
Are the internets hating on it?
Pretty good.
I think pretty much everybody likes it.
Yeah.
Nothing on the internet is just pretty good. It's either awesome or the worst thing ever.
Yeah. Ever.
Well, I heard. I did hear that Simon Kinberg, the guy who wrote the screenplay for it, and is apparently writing the next one, which is about Apocalypse, should never be allowed near the property ever.
I think he should be allowed near the property because the no spoilers,
it's too early.
I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And I am Scott Coles. And tonight I am Adventure Kid.
Yay!
I had a weekend where I didn't have any plans.
Wow.
Isn't that nice?
It was very strange and lovely. I really enjoyed myself.
This weekend.
Yeah, I had to work on Saturday, so to that. But
goodness.
So you after
get
work,
paid overtime or double time or
overtime, yeah. But still, so I don't want to work. I'd rather not work on Saturday because it was, especially when it's a really nice day out. You just want to be outside somewhere having beer, which is what I do. So. I ended up at a couple guys from the factory decided they were going to do the ghost chili pepper challenge.
Oh, I saw that on Facebook.
They eat an entire ghost chili pepper and drink and imbibe nothing for 5 minutes afterwards.
Damn.
Oh, dear Lord.
Sit there and suffer.
Nope.
Yes, that's what they did.
They were looking for someone to do the filming, and I said, of course I would, as long as I got to do interviews first.
Yeah.
So I did that. And that was fun because I would ask them questions like, why are you doing this? Because it really interests me. You know, I'm always interested to hear the things that drive people to do certain things.
You laughed at their pain.
Oh yes, definitely. It was quite hilarious. Wow. Of the three gentlemen involved, only one of them threw up, so that was nice.
Wow.
And he only threw up because he drank almost. Well, spoilers, I guess, but nobody that's involved is going to listen to this. So, he ended up throwing up because he drank 2 liters of milk in like 5 minutes. Which is a
problem. I think I'm sick just hearing that.
Well, that's the thing. Usually, I mean, I'm not really squeamish as far as bodily functions go. And this was actually less offensive because it basically came out looking like milk. So it was just like, oh, that's interesting. And then I got a call from an old, really old friend, one of my first best friends from grade school. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to go on. He has recently bought a car, his first car. So he wanted to go on a road trip. So to small towns in southwestern Ontario that we'd never been to, or that he'd never been to. Mm-hmm. So we ended up doing a tour, and we did Seaforth, Lucknow, mm-hmm. and ended up in Wingham.
Wow. Wingham.
Real towns.
And out of all those towns, only one of them had a bar where I could get a beer, which was ridiculous. So.
Well, I guess but they it was really were small towns. I mean,
they were really small towns, yeah, on a Sunday. So, yeah, there was nothing going on. But we had a great time. We had a good, you know, good chat. And it's the journey, not the destination, obviously, because those destinations were kind of so. So there you go. But, yeah, it was a really nice change of pace not to have to rush around to places and do stuff.
Nice. Very nice.
I think I should do it more often.
Absolutely. That sounds awesome.
It was awesome. I highly recommend it.
Awesome.
Oh, everything. My. Everything's awesome. All right. So let's see here. Legion news. Not so much Legion news per se, but apparently... former Legion writer Dan Abnett is working on Infinite Crisis. Wait, what is it? Is it 2003 again?
Huh. Oh no!
No, this is the tie-in to the tie-in digital comic to the Infinite Crisis, I guess, video game.
Yeah, it's an online game.
Ah, okay. Yeah, so he's writing the book that ties into it. So that's that seems to be a little bit of a. You know, too many meta twists. It's like it's a video game that's based on a comic, so we need to do a comic that's based on the video game that's based on the comic.
That yeah, makes why not? Sense.
So there you go. Mm-hmm. So hey, you know what? What was the other game? Injustice.
Injustice.
That
yeah.
book apparently did quite well. So there you go. So yes, so he will be working on that. He apparently doesn't work with Andy Lanning anymore. So
very sad.
Yeah, DNA is no more.
That is a damn shame.
It is, absolutely. So anyway, so that's kind of as close as we've got. Story of the Infinite Crisis comic starts on what DC calls the Prime Earth, where you see Batman discovering that there are alternate Earths, and we see where Batman encounters the multiverse for the first time.
Prime Earth, really?
Okay. Well, to be fair, that's what the Newsarama article calls it.
Oh, okay.
It says it starts on what DC calls its Prime Earth. So whether they refer to it as Earth Prime is another thing, but it's the way of the wording that he was using.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway. Yes, because then it's one Earth and two Earth. Three Earth, four. All right. Oh, and there's also Atomic Wonder Woman, which is obviously better because Atomic Wonder Woman. And she's the Wonder Woman from the post-apocalypse Earth. We have Arcane Green Lantern, who's the Green Lantern from a mythical fantasy world. And we have Gaslight Catwoman, who's obviously from the Gotham by Gaslight iteration of the multiverse.
So. Yeah, they're taking the standard iconic characters and basically giving them new costumes that you get to buy in the game.
Ah, tricky.
Yeah. Yes. So, yeah.
Cha-ching.
Layouts on this. So the Abnett is the writer. Layouts are by Carl Potts. Now, didn't he do Alien Legion?
I think so.
Yeah. So
I haven't heard that name in a long time.
Yeah. Exactly. So he's doing layouts, and the actual pencils are being done by Larry Stroman, and Travis Scott is inking it. So
another name I haven't heard in a long time.
Yeah, exactly. And then Gene Haw's doing the covers. Sounds like kind of a good showing for it. So it'll be weekly. Probably like the shorter format, like the like a lot of the digital firsts, and then released in trade.
10 pages. Or something.
Yeah, something like that, and they usually go for around 99 cents or whatever. So, anyway, so there we go.
Woo!
Infinite Earths, it seems.
Oh, very cool.
Sounds crazy, just crazy enough. All right, so let's get into the issue. This issue actually is kind of important.
Yep.
To who? It brings a new writer and artist to the title.
What? This writer will never stick around.
Yeah, exactly. So the artists are I'm just trying to, because the credits are on this book.
Somewhere on this book.
Yeah. So
they're on the first page at the bottom.
Yeah. So the artist, of course, this is the first issue for James Sherman. So I guess you know, Grell between Warlord and of course Green Lantern, Green Arrow, which he was also drawing at the time. Something had to go, and that does seem to be Legion. And so we got James Sherman, who I quite liked his art, and he is on this issue. Inked by, I'm looking further down the row, inked by Bob Wiacek, and Danny O'Neill is the editor.
Never heard of him.
And the writer, some guy named Levitz.
So.
I hear he's just going to storm off some book in the future.
That's how it happens.
That's how it all happens, doesn't it? I mean, really.
Of all the things he's going
to achieve, waiting on his retraction.
That is the one. Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't hold your breath on it. yes. So, with all this wildfire on the page, this sounds like something Scott should be taking the lead on. So, take it away,
okay.
Sir.
Okay. Let's see here. This sounds like it was made for Darren. Teen team action in the far-flung future.
Seriously.
Superboy and the Legion of Superheroes 225. It's got Superboy and Wildfire having a little bit of a bitch fight on the front here.
Mm-hmm.
And Shady is trying to stop the fight for some bizarre reason. Seems kind of unlike her.
Mm.
Usually she just sort of sit back and wait till whoever wins and then, you know, come on to them. So interesting. But she seems to be under the impression that if they both die, the Legion will all die with them, which is, well, maybe true of Superboy. I don't know about Wildfire. I think the Legion can do without Wildfire.
What?
And indeed has in the past.
Madness.
But Superboy, that's something as we've learned to our chagrin. The Legion without Superboy sucks kind of badly.
Well, it sucks in the sale department.
Yeah,
because an S-Shield will sell your book.
Well, yeah. So there we have it. There's a fight. There's going to be a fight. And there's still a fight and more fights.
More fighting.
And leaders. This is all about who gets to be the leader, I guess. Leader, leader, leader. Roll call, Dream Girl, Lightning Lad, Shadow Lass, Superboy, Ultra Boy, and Wildfire.
Oh, yeah.
Wildfire is there. He's got his hand on, I guess, the Interlac Bible. or whatever passes for a truthiness book in the future.
It has all the creator credits on it.
It's right. And but in the middle of his acceptance speech, Superboy comes barreling in. He's like, "You cheated me out of Legion leadership, Wildfire, and I'm not going to let you get away with it." Because nobody likes to be cheated, even Superboy. So he comes this smashing in. He lands really hard, so he breaks the floor, which I feel like Superboy doesn't have to do. He did, so he did it for effect. He's clear, you know, he's by now he's sort of learned how to land with grace and not destroy the public property. But he's very angry. And here we have another example of time being a place, because he was away in the 20th century when they held the election. So he thinks he got the most votes, so he should be the new leader, not this rookie runner-up. Oh, snap.
Oh, it's on.
It is brought in.
All he has to do is...
Wildfire says, "I pity the fool that doesn't think I'm Legion leader." So he... Mon-El steps in before it gets really nasty and slaps them both in the face.
Oh, dang.
Oh, no. He's taking Wildfire's side. He just slapped Superboy.
Yep.
Dang.
That's what you get for waiting 1,000 years to get me out of the...
That's right.
Zone. Yeah, exactly.
Got your antidote right
coming
here,
home, coming home to roost now, bitch.
Dream Girl calls off the fight. He's like, "Enough, all of you. This is going to look wonderful on the WGBS news." Everybody fighting it up. Ugh. Superboy really spoil boy. Wow. What the heck did Superboy do? Everybody seems to be on his ass today.
Yeah.
You read in the Legion Bulletin that Wildfire was the new leader, Superboy, even though you received the most votes, but you never thought to read the explanation, did you? We've changed the rules. Of course we have. Because that's what we do.
That's what we do.
Just to be dick moves to Superboy.
Yep.
We never thought we'd have part-time members, so we never covered it in the Constitution. But you guys are... 1,000 years in the past most of the time, so Legion leads a full-time leader. Me. Yeah. I pity the fool doesn't show up full-time. Jive turkey. So, he's like, "Oh, very nice," he says. Wow, Superboy is really butthurt about this.
Yeah. Yeah, he is.
So he slams the door and leaves. Whatever.
Whatever's you. I'm out of here.
Yeah. I'm blowing this popsicle stand. And he could, too. With a super breath, he could knock it right down. But
he doesn't need any of you.
He'll
just
huff.
Needs lamp,
he'll puff.
Just chair. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And this paddle ball game.
Yeah.
And this ashtray.
Shady goes flying after him. He's, "Come on, man. Don't be a hard ass. It's just a thing. He cheated me out of what was mine," he says. "Thanks for the moral support, but I got something to work out on my own." Yeah, no doubt. So, Legionnaires are flying around. There's an attack on Mother Earth.
Oh, no.
By the Resource Raiders. Ah, the Resource Raiders.
The Resource Raiders.
The Resource Raiders.
They could only have come up with that in the
70s. Mm-hmm.
So and apparently, now we know how it seems Rainbow Raider came about.
Dudes sort of fly around in flying saucers and steal water and stuff, I guess. Flying saucer is blasting a hole in a dam for some reason. Ultra Boy saves some people that were too close to the action. And, some of the
so
people,
anybody Dreamy. Who doesn't, Dreamy gets her hair wet. Oh my god.
Yeah, she dives right in, saves some kid that was drowning.
Then Aquaman punches a shark.
Yeah. Wait, what?
Aqua punch.
In the oh, do you not have to host this ad?
No,
we don't.
Now Aquaman punches a shark, then he punches a monster that looks like the creature from the Black Lagoon.
Cool. Nice.
And then they
then they all share Twinkies, and it's all good.
Well, that's good. It's nice that it has a happy ending. Some of those hostess dads end just terribly.
Mm-hmm. True.
It's like hostess ads and just done by just horrible, like Cormac McCarthy's hostess ad was just heart-wrenching.
I would read that.
I would. That would be pretty awesome. Because, you know, it would be, you know, the last Twinkie on Earth.
Yes.
While Aquaman was being chased by radioactive cannibals.
Mm-hmm. Remember the days when Twinkies could save everything?
Hmm. Yeah. Anywho, Lightning Lad is using his electrical energy to funnel...
beer.
To cause a miniature aurora. He's trying to destroy the ship, but it's no scratch at all. Shady puts up a black cover so that the flying saucer can't see them, I guess. Mm-hmm. They're not firing on them, though, so they're basically just flying around this thing, not bugging them. So he's going to try and... So I guess they're stealing water from the dam. Why they can't just drain it from the river by itself... Why they have to rip the dam apart to do it, I'm not sure.
And why they care about them stealing water.
Well, because it's their water. And the resource raiders are just...
They're space balls, Matt.
They're greedy. Yeah, they don't share. They take all the water. I guess.
All the water.
So anyway, Wildfire's there. He's trying to patch up a hole in the dam. And then Superboy comes in and blocks his blast so he can't weld the dam shut.
Jerk.
And Superboy tells Ultra Boy to switch to super strength, and they both grab the flying saucer and discus it out of orbit. Back out into space. So Wildfire's like, well, now how are we supposed to find out about the resource raiders? And Superboy says, well, it's better than blowing up the whole area, as you were about to do, fearless leader.
Meow.
When the raiders blew up the dam, they sprayed explosive powder that spread all over. If you had used your powers, the rest of the dam would have gone up in smoke.
Oh, no.
Oh, snap.
Here, let me show you.
That's right. Oh, damn. nobody saw it. There was no powder, says Ultra Boy. Superboy wouldn't do something like that. And Dream Girl's prophecy power, shockingly, is telling us nothing.
What?
But her woman's intuition is telling her that Superboy was indeed up to something. There's more to this than meets the eye. Superboy is clearly a Transformer.
Yes. Mm.
That would make a lot of sense, actually. So, you know.
Mm. So, sneaking around in the complex, is a person sneaking around in the dark. And goes to a tube containing, I guess it's the uniform room.
Yeah.
Where they conveniently hang all of their uniforms. Whose is that one beside at the top on the first panel there? It looks almost like Hercules' old suit.
Yeah, there's like an extra Wildfire suit, which is what they're going after. And that, the two in between, maybe that's Grimbor and Charma?
Because
it's a harness of some sort and then a woman's suit right next to it. So I'm not sure. someone with some good spotting skills, let us know if you know whose those is. I didn't look into it before we did this
issue. It looks like a combination of Borat's bikini deal and Hercules' straps from the 80s.
Yeah. And maybe it is that. Maybe it's just that simple. So, you know.
Yeah. So anyways... Somebody's in there and they're after Wildfire's extra suit. The lights come on and there's Wildfire. He's telling Superboy he can't, what the hell's he doing? Get away with my costumes. You can't wear my clothes. You stretch them all out.
It's not made for people.
And Superboy says, I'm going to be the leader no matter what it takes. Wildfire gets ready to... put the Bazorch on him, but Superboy's too fast, knocks him out, punches him in the face. There's a fight, and then out of the room walks Wildfire. Dun, dun, dun.
Dang.
And then, so he's looking out the window, and he calls the He uses his ring to call the Legion. They're going after the Raiders again. Because, of course, he has leads. Although no one knows how he has leads. He just does. But how does Wildfire know where the where these Raiders are? It doesn't matter how I know. I just know. So we're going to go.
Okay.
Yeah. So they were hiding behind those ancient satellites. And we have to stop them before they get back in their ship and cut out. So they attack this weird little ship. Wildfire is flying around punching people out because that's what Wildfire does.
Yeah.
Dream Girl notices, of course, that he's fighting exactly like Superboy. What?
Well, Dream Girl is probably one of the most observant people on this mission, so.
Apparently. Wildfire warns Dream Girl she's going to get blasted, and then he gets blasted. Ba-boom! Big explosion like Wildfire is wont to do when he lets out too much steam. they're trying to shoot Dream Girl now with a needle gun, but there's Superboy and he blocks the shot. And she's like, "Were you in the Wildfire costume? That blast ray seemed to blow you apart. It would have if it was me, but it was really Wildfire and he saved my skin. I wanted to replace him. Our computer predicted that the new leader would be blasted on his first mission, and I thought I had the best chance of surviving. So that's why I tried to bully my way into leadership."
Wait.
Really?
The computer is doing Dream Girl's job? What?
Yeah. No kidding, right?
I would be upset if I was Nora. I really would be. I'd be annoyed by this.
I'd be upset if I was Bran paying the payroll when it's like, well, we already got a computer does that.
Yeah, sure.
Well, Dream Girl must offer something extra, you know.
The computer miscalculated it, figured Superboy would end up leading the mission and would be destroyed by the kryptonite in that beam. Of course there was kryptonite in that beam.
Yeah, this kryptonite is so plentiful.
Kryptonite's everywhere.
It's true, it is. This is the Bronze Age. It's made of everything.
Exactly.
So then Wildfire gets back into a new suit that he brought along because he knew he was going to need it, because he always does. And it turns out the Resource Raiders are weird-looking... I don't know, what the heck? It's like, kind of like a camel with snail eyes.
Yeah.
But little flying dealies.
A little Joe Camel action there.
I don't know what the heck's going on. But they'll tell us where their home world is and why they've been stealing our galaxy's resources.
Oh, will they?
We'll have a showdown. A hoedown showdown.
Nice.
So next issue, the Legion will face its greatest challenge and meet the deadliest hunter in space, the dazzling debut of Dawnstar.
So let's just take a moment before we move to the backup
the second
story. Yeah. James Sherman.
Mm-hmm.
People know who Paul Levitz is. Yeah, I think he's great. I really, and wait till we get to the Infinite Man story, Scott.
You're just
gonna love that. Everyone pretty much knows who this Levitz guy is. And if you don't, just go onto our site and take a little search through for Paul Levitz because his interviews are up there. So James Sherman was an artist and colorist working for DC Comics and Marvel Comics in the 70s and 80s. And of course, he is probably mostly known for his work on Superboy and the Legion. He took over, as we said, following Mike Grell. And of course, he and writer Paul Levitz introduced Dawnstar in Superboy 226.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Sherman's run ended halfway through the multiple-issue Earth War story arc.
Oh, yeah, Earth War.
And the reason it ended was he didn't like the way the story was going. So he didn't like the ending. And I'm not going to get into that specifically because obviously we're going to cover that at some point. And he walked off the title. Oh,
wow.
Sounds familiar, right?
It does. It does sound familiar. Yeah.
So... and of course he was replaced by Joe Staton.
Joe Staton.
Sherman's run goes from issue 225, this issue that we just did in March 77, to 242 in August of 78. So he left on around Matt's birthday.
Ooh. Oh.
There you go. Way to go, Matt.
Yeah. It was my fault.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was.
Over at Marvel, he worked on various titles, including Spectacular Spider-Man Annual 3, which featured a guest appearance by Man-Wolf.
Man-Wolf. Oh, yeah.
And he was also the artist on Elaine Lee's 1991 noir space opera, The Transmutation of Ike Garuda.
God bless you.
Yeah. So he's done some fill-in work and stuff, but he primarily works in commercial art. Those who are familiar with the chain ShopRite, he's the guy who designed their logo.
Oh, yeah.
Now, at one point, he had claimed to have created the logo for Major League Baseball, but that was it turned out that it was actually a derivative logo of that was created, so not the original one. But some of the stuff he worked on, we already mentioned the Legion issues, and he would come back and do a little bit of work on issue 262. And of course, we remember him in 300 as well. But he did backup feature in the one of the tabloids. He did some Black Hawk work. Here, the Heroes Against Hunger story. House of Mystery 270. He was the colorist on Icon number 1 for Milestone.
Sweet. Woohoo!
And then Super Team Family. He did a couple of issues with Challengers of the Unknown. Also some stuff in Tarzan Family with Korak, Son of Tarzan. And
Korak.
And then some some Adam Strange stuff in World's Finest. Over at Marvel, he worked on Alpha Flight number 83, Amazing High Adventure, Critical Mass, Deadly Hands of Kung Fu. Yeah, he'd be a good fit for that book.
Mm-hmm. True.
Because his style, there are elements of his style and Gulacy's style that kind of match up to me. Dreadstar 24, Power Pack 49.
Power Pack. Yeah. Woohoo!
The Punisher, Volume 2, Number 39. Silver Surfer, 39. If someone had a 39 issue, he was the guy.
Yeah.
The aforementioned Spectacular Spider-Man Annual, Transmutation of Ike Garuda, which we talked about.
And we just need to change Spider-Man to the Fabulous Spider-Man.
Yeah, exactly.
He's had every other crazy adjective, so why not?
Anyway, so that's kind of the scoop as on Jim Sherman. And on for a short time, but an influential time, because that was at a time where the Legion was really, after Grell was kind of one of those definitive artists. You know, he really left his mark on the Legion, and so definitely a hard act for him to follow.
True, and he did borrow some of Grell's tricks. I mean, the bottom of the last page, next to last page of the story, has Dream Girl kind of busting out of that panel a little bit. So yeah,
exactly.
He was doing some experimental pickups, you know, from Grell to kind of keep that style going. Looked very cool.
Jim Sherman, he doesn't like your story. He's outie.
Indeed.
Yeah,
indeed.
Pretty much.
Now, to be fair, that story went back and forth between a whole bunch of people.
True.
Because I think Levitt started it, and then it went over to Conway for a bit, you know. What I like is on the next page we get the Daily Planet.
Yeah.
Right. You can't mention that in a Legion book anymore, Paul.
Look at that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So
Batman
this was...
and five JLAers battling the calculator. Come on, really?
Yeah, it happened in World's Finest, didn't it?
Is that Detective Comics?
Yeah.
Oh, is it Detective? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Calculator was one of those characters that appeared in the back of the backups, and he would fight a Justice Leaguer and get defeated by them, but live to fight again. And eventually, he fought like seven or eight of them, and then they brought the pain to him, but not in a JLA book. So,
well,
it's wacky.
I'm just saying, is. It took five JLAers to defeat the frigging Calendar. Come on,
I know, right?
Calendar or Calculator?
Sorry, Calculator. The
Calculator.
Yes, not Calendar.
Calendar Man's a different guy.
Calendars.
I like how he's got the claw machine coming out of his calculator head.
Yeah. Yes.
He's going to pick up Batman and win a prize.
Well,
he's like, I win. What'd you win? Yeah. A punch in the face?
Well, he's kind of like Green Lantern in a way. He just had to punch up the code for what he wanted to create. So, you know, it was just very, it's very corny, you know.
Code Monkey.
Yep.
Also released this month, All-Star Comics 65, which Levitz was also working on at the time. Vandal Savage has captured the Justice Society in a world beyond time, and Superman and Power Girl are helpless because the world is composed of solid kryptonite.
Oh, no. Of course it is.
Yeah.
They're not dying or anything. They're just helpless.
Yeah.
Exactly. Just the right amount. Just the right amount. Just trace amounts.
Indeed. Indeed.
Just trace amounts of entirely made of, composed of kryptonite. Solid kryptonite.
Exactly. So who's going to take us through the next story?
Well, I can do it, I guess.
Cool. All right.
Hang on. I'm rubbing my eyeballs here. Hang on. It's an untold tale. What?
Easy. Explicit this is a family show.
Eyeballs.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Thank you. Wow. An untold tale of with oil of the Legion of Superheroes. Let's see here. The more things change, the more they stay the same. And 1,000 years from today, people will still try to take their homes with them when they travel. People will journey to the far reaches of a galaxy, all the while staying within an artificially familiar place. And people will still die. And what we're seeing here is... There's two guys fighting, one in orange and one in green. And unfortunately, Scotty, looks like the orange one's taking a header into off the mall parking lot there and into the center of an atrium.
To be fair, he's probably drunk.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, it's tradition when you wear orange. Roll call is Princess Projectress, Sunboy, and Timberwolf. Interesting combo.
Party, party, party.
The story is called A Matter of Priorities. And... Timberwolf, they're not in their normal costumes, that they are color-coded appropriately, so you can tell who's who here. Timberwolf's wearing orange and gray. Sunboy's wearing his red and yellow, and Projector is wearing purple and green. Oh, villain colors for her. Okay. Timberwolf says, there's a shadow moving up on the lounge level. It must be the killer. And Sunboy says, hold it, Bryn. We're in disguise. Remember, this is a diplomatic mission. We can't afford to blow our cover or we might start a war.
Diplomatic immunity.
Yeah. Sorry, I don't plan on blowing our cover or letting a murderer escape. That knife is the trademark of Selen of Thawne, the most dangerous homicidal maniac in space.
Woohoo.
Wow, that's a big reputation considering all the people we've already heard, and he's not part of the Fatal Five, so you know. Mm-hmm. And this is going to be his last victim.
Blast. He was too boss for the Fatal Five. If he had joined, he would have killed them all.
He would have killed them all,
the most dangerous homicidal maniac.
True. And somebody says, blast,
genocidal, suicidal.
Pretty much. He just won't learn to obey orders. And a guy here, we're getting introduced to one of the Legion's famous cast members here, the supporting cast. It's an older guy in green with white hair, and it's Ambassador Relnik.
Oh, yeah, Ambassador Relnik.
This is his first appearance, I believe. Somebody's like, blast it. Bryn won't ever learn to obey orders. And it's all right, Sunboy, no one noticed us. And if they find out why you're here, Ambassador Relnik, the UP will give up on your secret mission, and that'll cost more lives than Selen could take in a century. So apparently there's some high stakes going on here.
Look at that. If this was so important, why did they send Sunboy?
Hey.
there's like important diplomatic dating that has to be done.
Well, maybe there's a honeypot that he's.
It's a honeypot scam, yeah.
It's a honeypot scam.
Maybe,
yeah.
Maybe, or maybe they need someone to be eaten.
Ooh.
Mm.
Barbecued.
Send us only the tastiest legionnaires for our mission.
It's the night cycle, so most people are asleep. Even so, just lucky I haven't been spotted. If I can grab Selen without a fuss, might be home free yet. Got to do this quietly, because we all know Timberwolf's quiet, and he creaks open the side of the wall. Oh no, it's not the wall, it's a cape or something. And wrap him up fast. Thud. And instead of hitting Selen, he hits Projectra. Wow. You are getting over anxious, aren't you, Timberwolf? Or are you just having trouble telling friend from foe? Princess Projector, but you came up here to sell and he's vanished, as he always does. And we came up here to stop you. Will you get it through your thick head that this mission is important? Our job is to get Ambassador Relnik safely and secretly to the Dominion Worlds. There's the Dominion again. Mm-hmm. So he can avert a war with the Dominators. I know, but the Legion's chased Talon across 12 planets, and we've never been able to get a good look at his face. All we know is that he's a native of Thawne, the most superstitious world, and that he always kills with a unique ceremonial knife. He's trapped on this ship until we land on Dominus 1. We can't pass up a chance to smoke him out. And Roldek says, I understand your dilemma, my young friend, but please understand mine. The Dominators cannot admit that I am here. There are factions in their government which would use my presence as the fuel to start the very war we're trying to avoid. Surely we... Don't call me Shirley. No, your orders were to stay out of costume, and you, Timberwolf, must continue to use the facial makeup provided. Because he's not looking all, you know, Wolverine-y here. If it were known that the Legionnaires were here, the Dominators would suspect you were serving as my bodyguards. And hours pass, and with them the light years between the stars. Warp engines cool down for the last leg of the journey, and tempers begin to flare up. Sitting here like stuffed dolls while that lunatic runs loose, it's crazy. Sometimes our powers are useless, Bryn. Sometimes worse. This time they're a dead giveaway. They're a trademark, just like that superstitious creep's knife. But what if our powers weren't our trademark? Timberwolf has an idea. Warning, warning, warning. Heroism isn't always the same. Sometimes courage wins the battle, and they also serve who sit and wait. And Relnik sitting at a table with Sunboy and Projectra. So Timberwolf couldn't take the waiting and went to his room. Pity, he couldn't get used to the proper priorities. The pressure has not been easy on any of us, Ambassador, but it should be letting up soon. Ah, yes, with landing, and suddenly the room is an inferno, filled to every corner with flames and the burning fear of the passengers. Whoosh! Welcome to the Devil's Nebula, mortals. It will be the last place you visit in your insignificant lives. And there's like this large red-winged demon creature with a little imp on top of him. The earthly voice seems to resound from the glowing halls, echoing the haunting tomes, more suited to a graveyard. You are my creatures now, mine to use as I will. And it approaches some of the passengers and they go, aye! And I have plans for you all. Ha 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 ha. And some boy's like, gotta time my flame burst just right so Projector can synchronize her illusion. You shrink from me, my dear? How rude. If you insist on being so uncivil, then I must answer in kind. Go to the devil, child. And the imp is blasting this poor girl. Zap. Damn. No. Now is for the rest of you unluck. You'll not take me, demon. I know your kind, and I know how to stop you. And it's T'Salin. My knife is of mithril silver. Oh, he's carrying Sting. Okay.
Yeah.
And has tasted a blood sacrifice to the gods of luck. It has the power to destroy any demon. You presume too much, mortal. Perhaps your metal can harm a fledgling fiend, but who are you to claim that you can destroy me? I am T'Salin of Thawne, and I have killed 100 men. Today I shall add a devil to my tally. I think not, T'Salin, and demon conks him out. I think your tally is closed this day. And whoosh. Hey, wait a minute, you. And the demon disappears along with the flames as fast as he appeared. Attention, passengers. We are sorry that our scheduled ship's entertainment got out of hand. However, since it resulted in the capture of a wanted criminal, we hope you will accept our apologies. Well, I'll be. Did you see that? The Luck Lords are on your side, Legionnaires. Even though you didn't act, Selen was still caught, trapped by a ship's entertainer and his own superstition. You're right, Ambassador. It seems priorities have a way of taking care of themselves. With a little help from the Legion, that is. Ha ha ha.
This is where they freeze frame and wink,
yeah, and wink at the camera.
Yeah.
So I think it's kind of clear that it was Sunboy was doing some of the blasting while Projector provided most of the illusion, while Timberwolf was actually in covered by the demon illusion, so yeah, he could actually punch out to Selen and lay him out. So that's kind of cool.
Absolutely.
That's a cute little story.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's how you tell a cute Legion story and take out a baddie. And just Ambassador Relnik was never the wiser.
So Ambassador Relnik would, of course, show up again. He shows up a lot in Earth War, actually.
Oh, yeah. And he's in Prophet and Omen, by the way, if you want to go look.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Yeah, we would see him on occasion. He was kind of the one of those go-to guys for the United Planets. He would even show up in Volume 4, you know, in some of the Lois later issues.
Oh, yeah. Well, he was on Weber's World, right?
That's right, yeah. So
we definitely saw him towards the end when all the technology failed in the Baxter run.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and then, of course, like I say, we would see him in the Giffen Beerbohm run and throughout. I mean, you know, like as Darren mentioned, Omen and Prophet.
Yeah, Omen and Prophet. Yeah. Yay.
Exactly. So anyway, so keep an eye on him, kids. You'll be seeing more of him.
It's true. You will be.
Yeah. And that's interesting because, I mean, some of those supporting characters, you know, we got to see a few of them come back in Levitt's last run, like Gigi, of course, and Zendak briefly.
Yeah, briefly. We never saw Siobhan, though.
No.
Did we?
I don't think so. I think we saw someone who was sort of supposed to be somewhat like her, but I think it was
I think Siobhan first shows up in Earth War.
She does.
No, yeah, definitely.
But I meant the new Levitt's run. The most recent one.
Right. Yeah. And I think, honestly, part of his reason for steering clear of the character was technically the stories in which Siobhan becomes Sean were technically no longer part of continuity.
True. But
you just know it's going to be a shitstorm if you try and bring that character back. And she's still a chick.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Yeah, it's okay.
It's all good.
That never happened, and that's, you know, people would just love to hear that as his reasoning, right? True. So he couldn't win. So what's easier?
Just not talk about it.
Exactly. Exactly. So
like Obsidian in JSA.
Exactly. Just
don't talk about it.
Turn her into a damn egg.
Mm.
That'll fix it.
Yeah, that fixed it right up.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Anywho.
So there you go.
Indeed.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a whole lot more than that because I just wanted to talk a little bit about. Let's talk about a bit about this being Levitt's first run.
Okay.
Because it's only for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as he mentioned to us before, he got real busy and he wasn't too happy with the work that he was doing on the title. And I can't remember which issues he ran through here. But suffice to say, it wasn't a lengthy run.
Mm-hmm.
And because Conway was on the book just shortly after, and Conway had a much longer run on the book than Levitt's did, and it wasn't that super long either, in the grand scheme of things. I'm just trying to find where he mentions the, because he wrote it for 2 years. And then in that time, also managed to do the damn tabloid.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess did he do all of Earth War? I guess he did. Matt, you've read it more recently.
It's been a few years.
Yeah, I haven't read it in a while.
Yeah, maybe he did get a chance to maybe he did finish it.
But I did get the impression that he felt it was kind of floundering.
Well, yeah, and I mean, probably not helped by the fact that his artist said, "That's bullshit. I'm not drawing this story."
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah,
probably a bad idea. You know? Yeah.
So I guess he would do that, and then. And then I'm pretty sure Conway came in right after. because I know Conway was writing at least 8 or 9 issues later.
Mm-hmm.
Then they have the Steve Apollo issue.
Yeah, and there's part of where it kind of started getting goofy, because they were trying to do a bunch of different things, and that never ended up happening. And so it was like, what can we salvage out of this story? And
that was right after Earth War.
Well, that was 250.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, Conway came in just after that, because, of course, that was, you know, just a couple of issues after that, we ended up with... you know, like 250 and 251, I believe, were Omega. And then you have, you know, kind of them rebuilding everything, quite literally. And we get those, the League of Super Assassins.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yay, X-Men.
Yeah. Well, before they started collapsing everybody into the Legion of Supervillains.
True.
Like, you know, basically,
Five, this is your life.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
And then Brainy, of course, goes cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, so, you know.
He got better.
Yeah, that's what they say.
Oh, take a drink.
I do like the fact that after Brainy goes crazy and gets sober, sane again, everyone's like, are we sure he's okay?
Yeah.
I like that, just in the background, like, I don't know about this.
Well, it's like that. Then he does the computo thing, you know, not long after that, right? I mean,
no, not at all long after that. And it's like, wait,
because you think about it, it's a short divide after, you know, what really you get out of Earth War, you get that stuff where it's like crazy Brainy, fixed Brainy. And you know, some random stories in between. But when you look at some of the sort of the overarching developments. You know, I mean, we have the whole Legion goes back in time, which I think is the issue just before the Brainy one, where the Legion goes back in time to Krypton, and sort of, at least on the cover.
Sort of, kind of, maybe.
Yeah. And maybe. And then right after that, of course, Superboy leaves.
Uh-huh.
And
forever.
Forever. That's it. He's gone.
Forever, ever?
Ever, ever.
Forever,
ever,
ever.
Ever.
Well, they were, you know, I guess at the time they were like, hey, Superboy and the Legion of Superheroes is selling really well. How about we have really Superboy and the Legion of Superheroes separate? And it actually didn't work out too terribly for them.
No. It worked for like 5-6 years, and then, eh?
Well, I mean, they brought him, they brought him back,
Oh, yeah, he was back for Great Darkness.
Well, less than a dozen issues later.
Yeah, true.
He was, you know, he...
Reflecto.
Saga. So I mean, you know, again, just looking at it in sort of large swaths, we had a bunch of multi-issue stories in there. And so it really doesn't feel like it had been super long. When Siobhan makes that first walk into Legion HQ in Legion Annual Number 1, it doesn't feel to me like she is too far removed from the science police officer that showed up in Earth War, even though that was 3 years later.
Yeah.
You know, but that's just in our time.
Yeah.
It's like, that's nothing in comic book time.
The future's a place anyway.
Why you gotta be that way?
Mm.
Damn. And so we get this little cast of supporting characters. We've had a few here and there. Most of the time, it ends up being politicians that work for United Planets. You know, like
it's usually presidents of Earth or parents of Legionnaires, and then they're there for one and gone. So
yeah, and I mean, Kandru Boltax has been around for a while because he showed up later on in the adventure run.
Mm-hmm. And he's been around for a while,
and so. He would of course last until a little while after Earth War, and then someone else would take over.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, some Legionnaire mom or something.
Yep.
Never heard of her.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah, but she had been introduced before thanks to the Legion of Supervillains. So
absolutely. And you know, so we had seen her And of course, then we would get sort of contradictory versions of Legion parents showing up during the I want to call it the triangle logo era, because that was the era just after Superboy left to go into his first Electrofing issue.
Yes,
the Electrofing issue. It's a typo. It's a typo on the cover. It was supposed to be the first electrifying issue. It says Electrofing, and it's one of those things where you look at it and you don't even notice it. But once someone points it out to you, you can never look at it.
Can never look at it again. Yeah.
You can never not notice it after that. It just sticks out like a sore thumb. So Superboy would go on to that title too, which would of course be drawn by Kurt Schaffenberger, and it was a great book. It's one of my favorites.
Very sweet. Very sweet.
So them. You know, to me, we ended up getting a cool Superboy title out of it, and before too long, he was back in the Legion anyway, periodically. So we got the best of both worlds there.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Indeed.
Anyway, any other favorite things about this issue?
Nah, not really. It's better. I think the writing here shows that it stepped up a notch.
Yep.
Compared to the last couple of, S Hooters we had received. Because some of those were just, very, very special.
And some of the, I think Kerry Bates had some great stuff in his time as well. But it was uneven.
Totally.
A lot of that comes down to,
was it last minute or not?
Yeah, absolutely. So, or do we have to change because your science police officer's skin is too dark?
Yeah.
So, there was some crazy, wacky stuff going on at the time. And so, I think the fact that, we got Levitz coming in, and he's a guy who had sat in the editorial chair a lot by this point.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get Denny O'Neill coming in as editor on the book, and so he says to Levitz, "Okay, you're going to write this book, and
get on it."
Yeah, but Denny O'Neill is widely known for his editorial style of talk the story over with the writer, and then tell him to just go and just try and stay out of their way.
Mm-hmm.
And that was his thing at the time. That would change later on, but that, as they say, is another story.
Oh, yeah.
Down at the riverbank or whatever. All right, anyone got anything else to add in?
No, I'm good.
Yeah. All right. Then let's do this. Comments, as always, are welcome at legionofsubstitutepodcasters@gmail.com. You can join in the conversation on our Facebook page, which can be found at facebook.legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com. We're on the Twitter. We are LOSP Podcast. And in addition to all these things, you can head over to our website, legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com, and you can leave a comment on this or any episode. And with that, we make our way back into the time bubble, and we're going to head back to the 21st century, and we will see you all next week.
Ginger Ninja.